LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody knows Weber Grills. I've been using Weber Grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Breakout potential. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates, and it's you. And today, it's about the breakouts. These are the guys that are going to change the game in fantasy football in 2021, take that next step forward, as we're all here hoping Dan Harris does someday. Someday, hopefully this will be the year, fingers are crossed. But yes, these are the important names, maybe the ones to reach for, the ones you want to make sure you've got some shares, because once again, your fortunes may be tied to them and their ability to take that next step, take their game to the next level, just the way Kyle Yates has done in the last few years. Dan, take a lesson. That's the kind of player you want on your fantasy football team. Boys, it's a Monday morning. It's a good day. How was your weekend there, Yates?
It was good. I was on dad duty all weekend, and the three-year-old is now deciding that naps are not exactly something that he wants to do. So while I am like, I need to sleep because I'm still recovering from the chaos that was last week, he was not wanting to sleep, so that was fantastic. It was great. But I am feeling rested, rejuvenated, ready to get back talking some football here with you guys. We had the, you know, preseason games and everything like that. It's fun to get back to talking some fantasy football, especially with drafts actually happening here now. So excited for this one.
Dan Harris has actually not slept, nor have I, since the Fantasy Fest on Thursday.
Our 12-hour live stream. You both look like it.
We both have. I know, Dan, you're on the Da Vinci sleep. How's that working?
First of all, you didn't even you're like, I'm here and of course here with Kyle Yates, and then you just moved on. Like, I don't even exist, number one. Number two, there are like 14,000 insults being lobbed in my direction, which, as you guys know, I don't approve of. Okay, I don't like the insulting of us. I'm very upset by this. I'm going to power through. I don't think I have slept. All like, Joe, I was talking to our producer, Chris, about the fest and about our 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock hour, which was apparently just us laughing and not really being coherent, which is mostly me anyway. That was a great time. I had a very good time doing it. I hope to catch up on sleep at some point after the football season. In the meantime, let's go 100% all day, every day.
I can't tell you how many positive messages, though, I received about that hour of our dopiness where we were clearly punch drunk. It was an hour where that wasn't supposed to happen. It was just an hour where, like, well, Joe and Dan, you better go back on there and make it work. And we did. And, you know, in a way, a lot of this and a lot of the madness, it brings us all closer together. And that's what this last few weeks has been here. We always joke and we make the Fast and Furious Vin Diesel jokes about the family here and stuff like that. But we are. And it's been a strain for the last 10 days or so with that family, because, as you know, our brother Tags has been battling COVID and battling for his life. I'm not going to make it seem anything less than that. It has been a very difficult road for the last 10 days for him and his family. And I want to preface that first. We are completely secondary in this, even though we love him dearly. It's about him and his family, his children, his wife, his parents, everyone. And luckily, over the weekend, we got some better news that things are going in a better direction. And I can't tell you how much it means to them, his family, his wife, I'm sure it means to him too when he's able to see all this, and how much it means to us here at Fantasy Pros to see all the beautiful outreach. You know, because I know a lot of people aren't on Twitter necessarily, as we were talking before the show, and in case you had missed what was going on, you know, he's been in the hospital for now over 10 days and battling COVID. He is a warrior. He is our guy. He's not going to let us down. I'm telling you right now, he is tough as nails. And I'll tell you what, it has just been just lovely to see how important, you know, this family is and how important he is to you. And it sounds silly in some ways because you go, well, it's a fantasy football podcast, right? But I can't tell you how many messages I've read in the last few weeks about, you know, it's my favorite couple hours of the week, or, you know, that hour where I get to hear Tags talk football. It takes my mind off something else. And that is important. And he cares so much. Oh, he has talked about, I care more about your fantasy football team than my own, right? And it's so nice to see so many of you care more about him than your fantasy football teams. And I just wanted to thank you all from the bottom of all of our hearts here, Fantasy Pros. And I mean top to bottom, from the president of the company all the way down to little old me. I could tell you right now, like, it is, we've really come together over the last few weeks. And Dan, as editor-in-chief, you know, we've all been trying to pick up the slack as best we can here. And I think that we're continuing to do an admirable job of that. And it was great to get some good news over the weekend that things are trending in the better direction for Tags. And we are so grateful for that.
Yeah, Tags' absence has obviously been felt and noticed by all our listeners and subscribers and people who watch us on the YouTube channel. And again, out of respect, of course, for him and for his family, we tried not to, you know, talk about it too much or, you know, give any details. Thankfully, his wife, you guys should follow her at, I think, Tabby Tags on Twitter, provides updates now, which is great. So everybody can follow him along. We are constantly thinking of Tags. We have tried to continue to do our jobs and provide you guys the best fantasy analysis that we possibly can. Together, you know, Joe and Yates, you guys love him like a brother. I love him like a third cousin once removed, but we're all thinking constantly of Tags, and kudos to you guys for being able to power through, because now I'm sure everybody knows just exactly how serious the situation had been and how much he's been on our mind. So Yates, if you know, add whatever you want to add, but we are thinking of him. Keep sending out the positive thoughts, the prayers, whatever you do, and wish for a speedy and healthy recovery. Go ahead, Yates.
Joe, you mentioned it, you know, like this, we appreciate everyone being understanding as we still try to power through like draft season, right? This is the peak fantasy football season. We're trying to do our best to bring you the most up-to-date information and everything like that, but also like understand that, you know, and now you do understand what has been going through our minds. You know, like I woke up the other morning at like 6 a.m. and I just could not go back to sleep because I was thinking about Tags and trying to just not go to the worst case scenario. So when we got that message yesterday, Sunday morning, that he had started to turn a corner, I mean, I legitimately almost started crying. So, you know, it's so funny, like for us, we work remotely, we don't get to see each other day in and day out, but you guys are legitimately like family to me and like brothers. So when to have Tags, who, you know, I've done podcasts now for over a year and a half, I've interacted with for several years prior to that, to have him not here, especially during this time of year, has been noticed. It's been rough. It's been difficult. So I appreciate everyone who has been reaching out, asking about Tags, right? And that's what's first and foremost in everybody's mind, but then also checking in on me too, right? There's been a lot of people that have been checking and just seeing like how we're doing and asking if they, how they can help. We appreciate everything. So thank you guys so much. We hope to get Tags back here soon.
Yeah. And also thank you to all of our industry friends and colleagues too, who not only reached out with their concerns, but reached out and offered hands of help. Hey, you need an extra hand on the podcast, or hey, is there something we could do, or can we?
Right.
Hey, that's been magnificent too, and it's a great community. You know, sometimes like every family, there's problems. You know, there's fighting sometimes and all that stuff, but the sense of community over this particular issue has just been fantastic. And just from a personal note for me, I've known Tags for almost a decade, even though I am the the least tenured person here on this show today, in terms of Fantasy Pros and working, like actually working realistically with Tags in reality, our friendship goes back many, many years. And so for me, this is like a very personal thing. And Saturday, I was in a bad spot. I'll tell you, I legit was crying. I'm not upset about it. But Sunday was a good day. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And we are very excited to talk football because we all need a distraction. And Tags would say, well, you shut up, Joe. And just start talking about football. God, you're such a moron. And that's my, and that, you know what? People ask me like, you know, it's like, what do you love the most about working with Tags? It's like, you know what I love the most is when I make Tags laugh, because when I make Tags laugh, you can see like his whole body just kind of like brightens up and shines because he's such a freaking grump sometimes. And I love him to pieces. And after a show's over, he'll laugh at me and go, "You're such a moron. I love you." Like he'll say, like, you know, because he needs that sometimes. And you know, hopefully he'll be back here and he'll be calling me a moron sooner than later. And we'll be back to normal here on the
Joe,
show.
If it, so. If it makes you feel better.
No, you don't call, no, it's not the same. Call you a moron. Don't even pretend. It's not the same. It's not the same. Calling HR right after the show. All right. Let's tell you too about some free stuff because Fantasy Pros, as Dan said, and Kyle said, this is draft season. We're busy and we appreciate all of you. And we want you to go get yourself some free stuff. So go to fantasypros.com/contest. And we have our NFL giveaway going on. All you got to do is leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox. Screenshot that bad boy. Don't forget, get your 3x entry by going to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe there now. You know, over 100,000 subscribers, by the way, that we hit on Thursday. Congrats to everybody out there, and thank you for being a part of Thursday and a part of our channel. But if you do that and go to fantasypros.com/contest, you can win that Clyde Edwards-Helaire autographed helmet. It is glorious. And of course, I know what you're thinking. I can't get enough Dan Harris. Where can I get more? The answer to that question is the Kickoff Fantasy Football Podcast with Dan Harris. It's 15 minutes of Dan Harris alone in a dark room talking about NFL news, notes, quick-hitting fantasy analysis all throughout the NFL season. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Kickoff Fantasy Football Podcast starring Dan Harris by himself. Again, solo Dan. And if you like it, please leave a lovely review of the show for Dan Harris because goodness knows he needs the positive feedback. So, boys, let's get into it. Let's start talking some football. And, Dan, I'll start with you since, again, you've been alone all day and now you're with people. Let's talk about the all-breakout team. And let's start with the quarterback where every team begins in the NFL. Because if you don't have the quarterback, what do you have? So who is your breakout QB on your all-breakout team for 2021?
So I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts here. And the thing about Hurts is like, well, you know, what's a breakout, by the way? We were actually talking about that before we started.
I could have put money on when Yates was going to ask us, well, what do you mean by breakout? And I was just like, I would throw my hands up. I was like, I knew he was going to ask me that question. It's your definition, but
it's whatever you want. My breakout is somebody who's terrible. A breakout is somebody to me who can kind of take the game to the next level. Okay. And for me, Hurts is a guy who I believe his ADP is 11.5 in consensus ADP, the 12th overall quarterback going. I'm higher, I'm 9th, which I've talked about, and I think that there is actual top 5 potential. That's why I'm going to mention Hurts, who we've talked about a lot. So let's just, it's cool to hate on the Bengals right now. Second to that is just cool to hate on the Eagles, right? Because there's a lot of disastrous stuff coming out of Eagles camp. Hurts was not a good passer last year. I won't deny that, 7.2 yards per attempt. He had a horrible group of receivers. The coaching staff was not good, but the rushing yards, 106, 63, 69, and then week 17, he was taken out early, but he still had 34. He had 46 carries. That'd be 184 for a full season. So I understand, Yates, you've brought up the point where a lot of those were scrambles, and that's fine. But Yates, I don't know if you have your projections. Give me a ballpark as to the amount of rushing yards you're expecting for Jalen Hurts this season.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Even if you don't have the
actual
number.
I bet it's like
number.
650. That's somewhere in that range.
I have him at projected for 689.
See, right. Who needs fancy spreadsheets? It's all in my
guys,
head.
You know, you guys kill me then when you do it because that kind of takes the error out of my point. That's fine. But let's talk about the rushing yards. Okay, I looked back at the most rushing yards for a quarterback over the last 20 years. Okay. Lamar Jackson had 1,206 rushing yards last year. We're not going to get there, whatever. In 2019, he finished first. Michael Vick, 1,039 rushing yards, 2006, finished second. Lamar Jackson, 1,005 rushing yards last year, finished 10th. Michael Vick in 2004, 900 rushing yards, finished sixth. Russell Wilson, 849 rushing yards in 2014, finished third. I can go down and down, but if you get to basically roughly 700 rushing yards, as a quarterback, it is impossible, almost impossible to not finish as basically a top 10 QB. And to me, that's the end result. If he does get to 700 rushing yards around there or something like that, he is going to be a top 10 QB. And if he could just fix the passing a little bit, he has a chance to be a top 5 guy. So for me, that's a guy who meets the definition of a breakout, a guy who can greatly outperform his ADP and has a chance to really explode. So for me, Hurts is my breakout quarterback.
That was a nice long list, Dan. I couldn't tell you've been doing a show every day by yourself at all. Yates, let's go with your quarterback. Who you got there, buddy, as the breakout QB in fantasy for your team?
So we just finished talking about him on the sleeper episode with Adam Rank, but that is Tua Tagovailoa here, the quarterback from Miami. Now, with Tua, last year was not great. And we've talked about, right? We've talked about Tua a ton here on this podcast, saying like everything that could have gone wrong for him last year absolutely did. But now heading into this year, we are starting to see some positive news and positive vibes, if you will, coming out of Miami about Tua Tagovailoa. And with the preseason game here against Atlanta, now I know that people are going to say like it was against the second stringers. I don't care. I'm evaluating Tua and what he can do. And what I saw was a very, very quick processor, again, which is what he did at Alabama. Chan Gailey's scheme last year did not do him any favors. So even if he only has, like, right, Devontae Parker's probably not going to be healthy all year. Will Fuller probably not going to be healthy all year. But even if he has these guys like Jaylen Waddle and Miles Gaskin, where they can get open quickly, what Tua is going to do is as soon as he sees a player open, he's getting the ball out. And he's getting it into their hands and letting them create after the catch, which is what Miles Gaskin can do really well, and which is what Jaylen Waddle does perfectly. So with these guys here that are now surrounding Tua, I think that we are heading towards a breakout campaign here for the second-year quarterback out of Alabama. Again, fully healthy. Everything is pointing up in his direction. So Tua Tagovailoa here as a breakout quarterback.
What was so striking to me about that game this weekend was the speed of the Dolphins. Gaskin looked so quick and explosive. Waddle obviously was tremendous in that game, came back after getting hurt, and then Tua obviously able to move around that pocket, which is going to be important because they want to play a speed game the way their offensive line is right now currently constructed. I would have gone with Tua as well. Sam Darnold's another one I would throw out there. Full complement of receivers, really good coach and play caller, OC and Joe Brady. I like Rule a lot as a head coach. I think with Christian McCaffrey there, all of a sudden Sam Darnold could have quite a breakout as a yeah, really nice, solid QB too. That's the other name I would throw out there. Dan, you look like you had something to say.
I do. I don't know if we gave the ADP for Tua. It's 22nd among quarterbacks. That's silly. That's by the way, Tua, by the way, I will make it clear, would have been my breakout, but I knew there was a 100% chance that he was going to be Yates' breakout, so I left it. He's 22nd. Guys, I don't know about you. I'm 15th. Like, if you're telling me that in the end, in a single quarterback league, if I wait and suddenly people are like, backup, 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 and I'm left with Tua Tagovailoa as my QB in a single QB league, I'm okay with it. Like, I will live with that without a doubt because I think he's being massive. 22nd. That's nuts. Like, way undervalued. I completely agree.
The only thing with that argument, right, as Tua, like, Tua falls into the streaming category, the streaming quarterback category, just based on where he's being drafted, right? You're not drafting him as a top 12 quarterback. So, but I mean, New England, week one, that's a concern, right? New England's defense, I don't know if I want to necessarily roll Tua out there in week one. Like, I will play the quarterback on the other side of the ball in that game in Cam Newton as a streaming quarterback over Tua Tagovailoa. So while I like Tua season long, I'm just, if he does fall into this streaming quarterback conversation, I want him as a QB2 on my roster or, you know, that streamer where I can pick him up off of waivers after week one.
Well, I can tell you in the Superflex community, there's no discount anymore on Tua. I saw it the last two weekends in a row in live drafts that I was in. And I'll tell you this much, too, that the Saturday draft I was in was full of a bunch of real sharps. And it was a super flex, and Tua was not going as a 22nd quarterback. I can tell you that right now. All right, we're going to get to the running backs in a second. Before we do, I want to tell everybody about Prize Picks. It is fun. It is easy. It is the way to go. You can turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and easy, and it all starts in Prize Picks. Simply pick two of five players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. It's just that simple. Prize Picks has a ton of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdowns, fantasy points, and more. You make your picks, you lock it in, and that's it. That's all you got to do. The more players you lock in, the more players you pick, the more you can win up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is one of the best ways to play. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries too. So you could take the over on LeBron James combined with the under Patrick Mahomes in the very same entry. And it offers every sport you can think of: football, college basketball, college football, college baseball, I don't know, baseball, soccer, mixed martial arts, everything. It's all there. It's unbelievable. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe. It offers fast withdrawals from Prize Picks app that's rated 4.8 in the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is the only way to go for daily fantasy, and it's the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily Fantasy Simplified. Find it in the App Store and Google Play. Use that promo code PROS to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, the promo code is PROS to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So make sure you go do that today. Fast, easy prize picks. Speaking of fast and easy, Dan Harris, who are your running backs that you have here in your all breakout team?
You want me to get both right off the bat?
Yeah, let's go. It's clustered up, baby.
All right. So I find breakouts, it's a little tough, right, with running backs, because I feel like once you get past the top like 20 or 24, you really need kind of an injury to get there. So the two guys I'm going with are Darrell Henderson, who I believe is 23rd in half PPR ADP. I have him 15th. And Mike Davis, who's 25th, and I have him 20. I'll start with Henderson. Look, one of the things I miss most about interacting daily with tags, which obviously I haven't been able to do over the last couple of weeks, is when he yells at me when my rankings are too low about somebody. And he used to yell at me about Darrell Henderson all the time. I have finally come on board. I'm sorry, tags, when you are inevitably listening to this. Everyone thinks it's just opportunity now, right? I mean, we were waiting for the veteran running back to come in who never came in. But Henderson is good. Like, he's a good runner. He's got power. He runs through you. He's explosive. And again, in terms of PFF grades, last year he was the 11th best running back. Now, he was drafted by this regime, right? This is not like a guy who they kind of fell into. This regime actually drafted him. And you can't kind of overstate when the backup running backs on your roster right now are Xavier Jones and Jake Funk. These are not guys who are really going to be taking away a lot of work. It's not like when Henderson and Malcolm Brown were behind Cam Akers, in my opinion. The quarterback, obviously, with Matthew Stafford is much better. The offensive line is much better. Now, there are things you want to criticize. He's basically never played more than 50% of the snaps in his career, just two games basically above that. So feels a little bit like Mike Davis, right? He can get in there and then he's going to wear down a little bit. But really, again, what is the other option? And he's a really good pass blocker, too. That's something that's going to keep him on the field regardless. So for me, a guy like Darrell Henderson, who, so long as they didn't bring in a running back to compete with them, a veteran, he's a guy who, like, he's not an RB1, but he is moving in that direction. It's a lot of talking.
No, and so far they haven't really, you know, they haven't brought anybody else yet. And I'm actually kind of surprised that Darrell Henderson's ADP has not risen by now. Like, I would have thought, I understand the hesitancy going in after the injury immediately to Akers, where you thought, okay, maybe they will bring in somebody, but every passing week where they don't, it's really kind of puzzling to me that Henderson's ADP hasn't gone up. So that's a really solid first pick. But you got another one, too, who's only going two spots right after him. Another guy who apparently has the full workload to himself and not a lot of competition.
Yeah, what's interesting, by the way, with Henderson is he's 19th in ECR. I don't know where you guys have him. So he's above where he's going in ADP and ECR. But again, even for me now, I'm moving him ahead of that little like Dave Montgomery tier and stuff like that. He's at the high end of that tier for me. The other guy is Mike Davis. Now, I know Yates, you know, we've talked about sort of the breakdown, you know, at the end of the year concerns. He's a guy who maybe you want to have to really, you can see the breakout early, but maybe not late. But I don't necessarily know if that's true just because, again, he wore down late last year. But again, when you go from 0 to 60, like obviously at the tail end of your race, you're going to break down. Now you've been at 60, right? Now you kind of know what that is. You might be able to kind of finish out the year strong. And we can't really understate or overstate, actually, how good he was last year. He's one of the best running backs in the game at forcing missed tackles. He was eminently involved as a receiver. And again, you've got the backups here. This is sort of what I'm looking at when I'm thinking about guys who can really go to the next level. Who's the guys who are going to get that volume? Kadri Allison, who's looked fine. Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, they didn't even spend a late round pick, Yates, on a running back, right? They just signed Javion Hawkins. The offensive line isn't good, but I don't really think that matters that much when you have a pass catching back like Mike Davis. Didn't matter that much to Austin Eckler. Didn't matter to best player ever Myles Gaskin last year. So I really just do think, so you go down to the basics. You've got a three down back like Davis is. That's kind of rare right now. You've got nobody behind him. You've got a team that's going to need to put up points and that doesn't have a ton of other options behind Ridley and Pitt. So if he stays healthy, he does have a chance very easily to finish as an RB1, in my opinion. So both, I find myself, you guys know we've done a lot of mock drafts. I wind up with Mike Davis a lot. I'm going to start winding up more with Darrell Henderson. So those are the two guys who I think could be the real breakouts this year.
I was able to get Mike Davis on Saturday as my third running back in a super flex. And boy, I was very happy. Again, volume, it's there. Take it. Upside, sure. But I mean, as your third RB and he's right on that fringe, as you point out, at 25, why not take that shot? All right, Yates, let's talk about your running backs. Who do you have earmarked to break out in 2021?
One of them, Darrell Henderson. So, Dan, in complete agreement there. You know, I wanted
where
to
do
point
you have
this
him,
out.
Yates? Where do you have him?
I'm at 15.
Fantastic. Yep.
So I wanted to point this out. Curtis Patrick on Twitter the other day said, in 2020, Daryl Henderson outperformed Cam Akers in all of the following rate-based metrics. Yards per carry, rushing attempts per broken tackle, rushing fantasy points over expectation per attempt, yards per reception, yards after catch per reception, and PPR per opportunity. Daryl Henderson is a good running back. And there is a perception right now, I don't know if it's just because Cam Akers like completely took over this backfield and Daryl Henderson was moved to the side, that people think that he's not a good running back or something like that, or that he's just a role player. I don't understand where this perception is coming from, but there are a lot of things here with the Los Angeles Rams from a GM perspective and from a team drafting perspective that we really should not read that much too far into, because they are terrible at drafting. So that's why they trade away all their first round picks. So Daryl Henderson here, he's got a significant opportunity in a potential top five scoring offense in the league this year. It makes complete sense to call Daryl Henderson a value where he's being drafted right now, and then a potential breakout and potentially even a league winner too. So Daryl Henderson is absolutely a guy that I want to highlight. The other one is Antonio Gibson. And Gibson, right, he's being drafted right now at RB12 and ADP. I've got him at 11. His ECR is 11. So it's hard to say, like, man, he's a top 12 running back. How can you call this guy a breakout? He potentially even broke out last year, right? Antonio Gibson is one of only six running backs in NFL history to score more than 10 rushing touchdowns and average more than 4.5 yards per carry while seeing less than 180 rush attempts in their rookie season. Antonio Gibson is a freaking good running back, and he's still learning the position. So with Gibson, I want that list too, right, that I mentioned, includes guys like Gale Sayers, Maurice Jones-Drew, Herschel Walker, Curtis Dickey, and John Keyworth. Those are the other five running backs here that are in that list with Antonio Gibson. And those guys, a lot of those guys went on to have fantastic NFL careers. So Gibson, I think, is just getting started here. And if he can see an uptick in the receiving work that we're kind of seeing here in the preseason, he's getting some targets there. I think Antonio Gibson could absolutely break out into a potential top three, top five fantasy football running back.
I will defend that selection to anyone who has problems with Yates calling him a breakout, because what Yates is saying is exactly what we're looking for right now. Guys who can jump a tier. And right now, let's be honest, Gibson's right on that fringe of RB1 in terms of being drafted. He's right around there. You know, some people do have him higher, but some people have him lower. But I'm with you, Yates. I think the potential is there. The volume is potentially there. The better quarterback play for him to become a top five guy. I love this selection, and catching the football should not be a problem for this former wide receiver before he converted over to running back. So a lot of people, you know, just got to get reminded of that sometimes, that J.D. McKissic did catch a lot of balls last year, but that was also because of the inefficiencies and deficiencies of the quarterback play looking for open wide receivers and being able to throw the football to them. So that is why you saw J.D. McKissic do as much as he did. I think potentially we're looking at Antonio Gibson doing a whole lot more. All right, we're going to move on to the wide receivers. But before we do, I want to tell you about Dynasty Owner. If you've been looking for a new challenge this year, there is no fantasy platform better than Dynasty Owner. It unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky, like, you know, when Dan Harris wins. And if you're like me and you think you're better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using NFL salaries within the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy. Go to DynastyOwner.com and validate your fantasy football skills today. Dan Harris, the wide receivers, very, very deep group. Lots of talent here. It's an embarrassment of riches. But who is going to be the richest breakout for you in 2021?
First of all, now that I'm on the receiving end of all of these insults, I understand why they hurt a little bit. So I'm going to apologize.
All I know is every morning I wake up and Yates goes, what did Dan Harris say about me on the kickoff today? And this is why you want to subscribe to the kickoff. I want to remind everybody like I did before. But, you know, Yates takes a lot of crap from tags, from me, from you. So yeah. I'm going to give a little to Dan today, because I feel like, you know, Yates has been taking it quite a bit.
It's also highly warranted. So I apologize, basically. I feel terrible. No, to me.
Giving it to you.
Clearly, yeah.
You, though, also highly warranted. Okay, let's go with Corey Davis. Corey Davis is 48th in ADP, and I will give a kudos to Yates, and I talked about a little bit on the kickoff. Yates has been very high on Corey Davis. I have not been quite as high,
but that's a mistake. He's obviously getting paid to kind of be the number one wide receiver, $37.5 million, $27 million guaranteed. That's money you pay to a guy who you intend to focus on. He had a really good year last year, career highs and receptions and yardage and touchdowns, all stuff like that. So Joe, I'll ask Joe, because my guess is Yates says, where do you think Corey Davis finished last year among wide receivers? Just ballpark.
Well, he had some huge games in PPR, you said?
Half PPR.
Oh, in half PPR, wide receiver 18?
What? Guy, you, why are you ruining my... This is actually...
Is it actually 18? Is that...
No, it's worse than that, but it's good. Like, I expected you'd be like, 40, 45. This is why you don't ask a question that you don't already know the answer to. That's my bad. I learned that long ago. He was 31, which I 31? Think is good.
I was going to guess 27. The way he was asking it, I was like, is it That's really, fair. Really high? And to I didn't be fair, even think about it. So, yeah.
Both of you guys are fantasy analysts, so I think you probably have more insight than Joe Q Public out there, because my guess is that they did not think that is as high as he would have finished last year, because I don't think people look back at Corey Davis and be like, he had a great, he had a really good season last year.
Right.
92 targets, 65 catches, 984 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So 17 game season right now, but you don't think he's going to really surpass easily all those numbers right now? And again, what's the competition? We like Elijah Moore certainly as a sleeper, but obviously a rookie battling an injury. Denzel Mims, they seem to absolutely hate him. Jameson Crowder, they wanted nothing to do with until he basically was like, I'll just take no money, keep me around. And they were like, okay, fine. Keelan Cole, Jeff Smith is playing ahead of Keelan Cole in the preseason games, guys. Like, I don't think Keelan Cole is really going to be something in preseason games. I mentioned this on the kickoff, Yates. I will say it correctly. He's got 13 routes. I say roots. Sorry, Queens native. 13 routes run so far in the preseason. He has 10 targets, okay? When you have a rookie QB like this, he is locking in on Davis. Davis is a guy 48th. That is now criminally low right now. He's a guy who can really break out, finish easily as a wide receiver 2. Probably not wide receiver 1, fine, but greatly surpassed. Take his game to the next level. Corey Davis is my number one breakout right now.
I'm so mad at myself because you kind of tempted me into going to this crazy number. You're like, do you know how good Corey Davis was? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
I tried to be
I'm thinking to myself, maybe he breaks 20. You embarrassed me. It's fine. It's fair.
No, you
I've been giving
well,
you a lot of crap on this show.
This
no,
is good it's, for
I,
you.
It was like way 10 spots off. But
no. But
I was so intimidated by his ferociousness.
I feel like you leaned into me suggesting that Corey Davis is really good.
Right. So that's fine. My bad. Let's continue on here. Yeah, it's give me your first wide receiver that you've got on your all breakout team for 21.
Yeah, we saw him do some fantastic things for fantasy football last year, but I think that he's going to take it an even step further this year. That is T. Higgins. He is currently wide receiver 28 in ADP, wide receiver 24 in ECR. Last year, Higgins was the wide receiver 16 in all of fantasy football. And that was from when I think it was John Ross was scratched, or when he wasn't in the active lineup. And that's when T. Higgins really broke out. So Higgins, the whole argument here has been, right, and we've talked about it nonstop, like Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, which one are you taking here from this Bengals offense that is going to have pass volume, like plenty of passing volume and targets available here? And with Ja'Marr Chase struggling to get up to speed, right? You talked about it on the kickoff, Dan. Like, this is...
Thank you.
It's rough for a receiver, a player, to take an entire year off of football and then to expect to be up and running at full strength right away, especially for a rookie, right? And so with Ja'Marr Chase, I think that we just need to be tempering expectations here a little bit. We need to allow him to get, like you said, Dan, his sea legs under him. So I think that T. Higgins is going to be a guy who comes out of the gates on fire and then just keeps that momentum going here with Joe Burrow. So I am going to say T. Higgins here. I've got him at 23. So got him one spot above ECR. I really like him. I made that switch here, moved him above Ja'Marr Chase. I've got Higgins at 23, Ja'Marr Chase at 25. Still like Ja'Marr Chase this year, don't get me wrong. But I think that he's not going to get off to the hot start that we think he might. So T. Higgins here as a breakout.
I'm so happy to hear this. I've been team T. Higgins over Chase for quite some time. I could tell you, you know, CeeDee Lamb and T. Higgins were the two guys that I talked about at the end of last year being those are the two tier jumpers this year. The guy goes from a 2 to 1, from a 3 to 2. And Higgins, somehow, over the last few weeks, Ja'Marr Chase bumped through him and he went over him in terms of ADP. And I just could not understand how this could possibly happen. I understand liking the talent, but we have to also live in the real world, which is, as Yates said, the guy hasn't played football in a year. It's going to take a little time. The talent is there. Somebody dropped the ball in the preseason game. Who cares? It'll all be fine eventually. The problem is you want to be 2-4 or 4-2. And if you want to be 4-2, And T. Higgins is the right pick there in that same general range. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to die on this hill and I'll be perfectly happy there. Just me and T. Higgins hanging out together. All right, let's go to the second wide receiver on your list here. Dan Harris, who you got?
By the way, I will add that I wonder what's going to happen to Chase's ADP over the next week, right? Because like we've gone from, oh, you know, it's not that explosive. Like the route running, not that great, to holy cow, he's dropping every ball. He can't play football anymore, right? Like you may see that gap between them grow.
Yeah, but realistically, Dan, shouldn't Ja'Marr Chase been valued somewhere as a high end, you know, a mid to high wide receiver three upside kind of guy anyway? And then all of a sudden he became like, he's a really good two in a 2 week span. And now he's settling back to where it probably should be, which is like a three with upside if you want that built into your roster.
So what was his ADP, Yates? Did we have Chase's or I don't know if we had Higgins.
I can pull it up now. Really quick.
Chase was 26. His ADP was 26. Perfectly fine. I mean, I had him and I still right now, I haven't done a full sweep yet after this last preseason games, but I still have him 24th. And my guess is I'm going to wind up with a lot of Ja'Marr Chase right now because I do think that the ADP is going to start to fall a little bit. I'm totally fine with him there. I do have found myself though in drafts that he doesn't go there. When I'm drafting, when I'm in a real draft, people before this really bad news, they were targeting him early as sort of like a more of a low end wide receiver too, or kind of a mid range wide. People just want him, right? You want that excitement. You want the mystery box. I think it's going to come down right now. And I think it's probably going to be appropriate, but I think the point is, and I think we're all in agreement, don't avoid him entirely. Like it's fine, but you may want to bolt. You may want to have guys who are going to produce for you a little earlier.
But the two and the three conversation is crucial. And I think from a roster construction standpoint, it's important to have this conversation for all the listeners and watchers out there on the show is that two is that spot that you look, if you have an incredible one, you could take a shot on two. That's fine. But for the most part, number two is that high floor guy, that guy that every week, you know exactly the kind of volume they're getting. You know, Adam Thielen historically has been that great. Oh my God, if you can get Adam Thielen as a two historically, what a fantastic guy who's got the upside for big games, but historically that floor has been very good, right? T. Higgins kind of fit that role, and that's why I was so excited about him coming into this season. Then the draft happened, and I got personally kind of like, oh no, a little bummed out, and I think everybody collectively started to, not sour, but at least got warm about him a little bit, and like, wasn't as hot as they were. And now it's starting to heat back up, and it probably should have never gotten as warm as it did. It probably should have always been hotter because he came into camp in good shape. Everybody loves the guy. He showed you he could do it last year. He is not a rookie. It's a second year in the league, not, again, a year removed from playing football. So there were so many things there that just should have been easy. But speaking of easy, again, Dan Harris, that's two times I did it to you. Give me your second wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mecole Hardman, who has an ADP of 52.3. I believe he has an ECR of 55, if I'm correct. I'm 48th, maybe 46th by the time I'm done with my sweep right now. I think if we hadn't tried to make Mecole Hardman a thing before, he would be viewed in a little bit of a different lens than we are right now. Yates, I remember when we were drafting in the Scott Fishbowl, and I took Byron Pringle late, and we were all like, hey, this is our deep sleeper. This is our guy, right? There were a lot of good reports out of camp. We know the talent with Hardman. We know how fast he is and everything like that. But what I'm really watching right now is the usage in preseason games. So there was no Tyreek Hill here against Arizona. Hardman didn't leave the field. Now, in the first game, he was entirely out of 11 personnel. People thought that was bad, right? They're like, well, he's not going to be the number two. I don't care, man. If he plays the slot, if I know he's going to be the slot receiver, if I know that he is going to be in every time there's a wide receiver, there is a three wide receiver set or more, that's fine because that is what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs are one of the heaviest three wide receiver set teams in the game. So now you've got no Tyreek Hill here in this game. They're still playing 11 personnel. He's also playing on 12 personnel. He's also playing on 21 personnel. He's just playing everywhere. So it's not like they said, no matter what happens, here you are stuck in this role purely in three wide receiver sets. There are targets available. Here, Sammy Watkins had 5.5 targets per game. So I know we want to make Pringle a thing, but all the usage that we're seeing right now in the preseason is that Hardman is really going to be that guy. So if he stays in the three wide receiver sets, he also has the high-end handcuff sort of thing where I think that he is the guy to take the big jump if something happens to Tyreek Hill. So I think he's going to greatly outperform his ADP. I think he's going to outperform his ECR. And I think there is a true breakout potentially waiting here for him.
This is the fork in the road, though. If it doesn't happen, I think you have to move on. You just have to let that go. I give people a lot of credit who are still trying to drive this bus because there is talent there. There is opportunity there. But at the same time, I think we've all got to realize if it doesn't happen this year, you have to understand it's just probably not going to happen, at least not with the Chiefs, the way that offense is structured. And that's okay. Sometimes that just happens. Where a player ends up is equally as important as the talent of that player. Yates, you're a talented player. See how nice I am to Yates today? Wide receiver two, who you got?
Let's go with another second-year wide receiver. Let's go Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh here. Claypool is one of only 9 players in NFL history to have more than 55 receptions, 850 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns in their rookie season. We do not talk enough about how damn good Chase Claypool's rookie season was last year. And that was when, like, towards the end of last year, Mike Tomlin was like, oh, we're going to rest Chase Claypool. We don't want him to hit the rookie wall. We could have seen him put up better numbers than that. So Chase Claypool here, I mean, heading into this season, I think that he is going to be on the field a ton. I think that he makes sense to have as the starting wide receiver opposite of Deontay Johnson in 2 wide receiver sets. I've talked about how I think that we are going to see a lot more of 2 tight end sets here in Pittsburgh, which means only 2 wide receivers on the field. I think Claypool is never coming off the field. And if that is the case, then there is a significant opportunity for him in this offense. If we see the kind of arm that Ben had last night, as the ability to be able to push the ball deep downfield, then Claypool is going to be the biggest beneficiary of that with his contested catch ability deep downfield. So I think Claypool, we are sleeping on him. He's wide receiver 27 in ADP, wide receiver 28 in ECR. I would not be shocked if we look back at the end of this year and say, man, how did we not see Claypool coming as a top 15 wide receiver?
Yeah, it's very possible. Some of his points came in huge clusters at one time, but a lot of upside there. You're 100% right. He could certainly break through. And Pittsburgh's starting to look more balanced and a little bit calmer offensively. Last year at the end, it was ugly. We all know that. One-dimensional was not good, but Najee Harris certainly looked very sharp in that game. Put out a nice move there, running in the open field. It's going to be a different Pittsburgh Steelers team, and I'll tell you what, that AFC North is going to be fun to watch, that's for sure, especially with Cleveland looking like a real contender again. Of course, Baltimore always there. So before we get to the last wide receiver, I want to tell everybody about IPVanish. What is IPVanish? It's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, and even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing. That's important because what you're doing on the internet is no one's business but yours, and IPVanish can help you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. For listeners of the show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off, just $3.49 for the first month, $31.49 for the year. With IPVanish, you get that anonymous IP address, you can circumvent online censorship, get protection while using public Wi-Fi, and 24/7 tech support. Go to IPVanish.com/pros, claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49. and all the way up to $31.49 for the year. This is the time to sign up, and with our discount at the current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish is the best way, even rated 4.7 out of 5, so make sure you go over to IPVanish.com/pros to claim your 65% savings today. Again, it's IPVanish.com/pros to claim your 65% savings. Dan, before we get to this last wide receiver, I just wanted to ask you a question about this whole root and route thing that I keep hearing so much about this morning. So do you say he's a good root runner or a good route runner?
If Tags hadn't yelled at me so much when I started hosting the Sunday night podcast, I probably would just always say the word R-O-U-T-E as root. I don't know why. I don't have it in me. I must be a Queens thing. Tags really yelled at me, like mean yelled, and I have worked very hard to go route, but as Yates noticed when he listened to the kickoff, which he is my most loyal listener just because he knows there will be one
Yates I'm just insult. Tuning in to see what he says about me. That's really right. Yeah, I wouldn't be tuning in, but
well, that's why I mean just, I feel like since that show started, Yates, every morning I wake up in this chat and it was, and it's basically Yates saying, what did Dan Harris say about me today? So you know what? I'm sticking up for a little brother today a little bit because I usually no one's allowed to make fun of Yates except me. Okay, it's my job. Don't you take job?
How do you say the word R-O-O-T?
Root.
I say root.
Okay, so that's wrong.
Now you also say podcast.
All right, we can talk, do we want to go everywhere? I don't know where Jaguars came from.
There's I hate Jaguars.
It's Jaguars. Now you are not alone in this, Yates.
Well, Jaguar. You support the Jaguar.
I'll take the L on route. Okay, that's wrong. But it's not Jaguars, even though a lot of people say that. That's fine. So let's just get it all out there right
well,
now.
Oh, it's out there now. It's out there. The two roots.
The two roots. The two roots. Right. I don't know what a root is, by the way. That's just
I don't know what that root is. Beer. I don't even want to.
Root beer.
Yikes. All right, gotta, let's go to the third wide podcast. Receiver. Dan okay. Harris, please, please give me a third wide receiver. It's going to break out in 21.
Although Yates has made me generally despise young people, I will go with a young wide receiver here. And it is Rondell Moore, who I mentioned briefly, especially on the kickoff, which you should tune into. He is 63rd wide receiver in half PPR ADP. He's 68th in ECR. I'm 54th. I really think the breakout's coming here. So look, Yates, you guys can correct me, both of you. We don't really doubt Moore's talent. Right? I mean, he's very exciting after the catch. We think he's going to be a fine wide receiver in the NFL. It's really about the playing time here, but I'm not sure we should be worried about that. Yates, pop quiz, what team ran the most four wide receiver sets last year in the NFL?
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Arizona is correct 20% of the time. I mean, that's a lot. So he'll be on the field more than he would be on almost any other team if he was just the fourth wide receiver. But I don't actually think he's going to be the fourth wide receiver, because what we are thinking about right now is who's going to take the slot role from Larry Fitzgerald, who reiterated he has no interest in playing football. So I think we can safely assume he's not going to be back this year. I assumed it was going to be Christian Kirk at the start of the year. We have seen two preseason games right now. Christian Kirk has played zero snaps out of the slot, while Rondell Moore has played plenty. And again, when we talk about the other options in this passing game, which I think you want a piece of, it's DeAndre Hopkins. Incredible. Who else is there? We're talking about AJ Green and Christian Kirk. This is not sort of some receiving core that is built to keep a guy like Rondell Moore down. Moore has looked really, really good right now. I think his skill set fits perfectly with what they want to do in Arizona. This is a guy who could absolutely explode this year. And I think the fact that he is basically being either undrafted or just essentially a complete afterthought is a mistake. There's true breakout potential here. You should target Rondell Moore at the end of every single one of your drafts.
Yeah, we had an interesting conversation actually on the TV show yesterday about the rookie wide receiver class, just generally speaking, and even going back to last year's, which is, you know, don't confuse the way or manner in which they were drafted in that order is necessarily in the way that you have to value them in fantasy. A lot of people, you know, made some, I would say, improper calculations in that regard last year. And this year, I think people are learning from that. We're talking about guys like Rondell Moore. We're talking about guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown. All of a sudden, we're like, hey, well, you know, it doesn't matter where they were drafted. It matters where they were drafted. In other words, what the opportunity is on that team, potentially, that they have a lot of potential target share or can make an impact. So, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase is that talent. Yeah, Jalen Waddle's that guy. And I love Jalen Waddle, believe me, almost to a degree where I should love as much as I do, but I'm telling you right now, don't discount some of the other lesser wide receivers that are rookies this year, because some of them in certain circumstances, a la Justin Jefferson last year, could certainly prove to be very valuable. I don't know if anyone's going to reach to that level, but still, they can certainly be valuable. Yates, who is your pick here for your third wide receiver breakout?
Yeah, really quick, I wanted to talk about Rondell Moore and to go back to what Dan was saying. Like, I think Rondell Moore, yes, incredibly talented. That has never been in question from his time. I mean, going back to 2018, his game against Ohio State, you know, from with Purdue, just ridiculous production. What he can do after the catch, he's always been on the, like, freak list as far as what athleticism and what he can do. The conversation then shifts to his availability, because that's been a thing here too, is that he has a lengthy injury history. So that's part of the concern here with Rondell Moore. And then also, I think it's going to be consistency. I don't know with this offense, with DeAndre Hopkins taking so much of that target share, and then AJ Green, there's been a ton of positive buzz about AJ Green. Am I buying into that from a fantasy perspective? No. But I think that he's going to have these games where he pops off. You're going to have Christian Kirk. He's going to have some of these games where he pops off. Rondell Moore, I think, will be a part of the offense, but is it going to be to the point where he is consistently breaking away big chunk gains, or if he's finding the end zone? I don't know if he's going to find the end zone enough in this offense consistently to be to the point where you can plug him into your lineup as a flex option week in and week out. Is the opportunity there? Yes, but there's a lot of other pieces that are standing in his way to be able to hit that, like, truly breakout where he can jump into that next tier. That's the only thing I would say about Rondell Moore.
So,
I have a question, ahead, if I may, counselor.
Yes.
If I may, Yates, at 63, which is where he is, do right. you still like that investment?
Yes, that is where okay. you can take the shot on him, right? That's the last round of your draft.
pick. Like, pretty you're much, taking yeah. Rondale Moore there, right in that range where you just say, okay, I'll take the shot on him. And if he comes out in week one, has a big performance, then okay, I feel like I made a worthy investment there at the end of my draft. But if he doesn't, then he's going to be one of those guys that you consider dropping. And I just think that he's going to have one of these, like, if he doesn't have a big performance in week one, it might be in week two. And then we might not see it again for weeks 3, 4, 5. And then he'll have another big performance in week 6 or whatever. It's going to take him finding the end zone with regularity for him to be that guy that pushes into the weekly flex conversation.
All right. Dan Harris, the witness is yours now.
Okay. Yes. I think, first of all, it's a very good point. And again, I'm way higher than consensus. I'm way higher than ADP. He's still 54th for me, right? Okay, so right, you're not, right, like, you know, I'm not, yeah, like, and I'm not saying you're not Yates. I'm saying that for the audience and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But I do have a question, Yates. Let's say right now Cliff Kingsbury came out and said, Rondale Moore is our starting slot wide receiver for the remainder of the season. Love this kid. Starting slot wide receiver. How would you view him from a fantasy standpoint?
I mean, I'd bump him up slightly, but it's still not going to be to the point. Okay. Right. Like, with, because again, they do run 4 receiver sets and they've got these other guys on this offense that can step in and rotate. So, you know, AJ Green's going to be a starter. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a starter. Then you're going to have Rondale Moore, you know, as a starter, quote unquote, in this offense. But then you're going to see Christian Kirk rotate in. You're going to see maybe Andy Isabella, if he stays on this roster,
right,
rotate in. Right. There are going to be other guys in this offense to the point where I know that DeAndre Hopkins is the consistent option in that offense week after week. And after that, I don't have consistency. I have some big performances here or there. I don't have that consistency.
So I think the difference between us, sorry, very quickly, Joe, then I'll move on, is just that I think that you have more faith, or you don't even have faith, but like you have more faith, I think, than I do in AJ Green, because I don't care about
you
the camp reports.
Right,
I have none. Other than the fact that I will be doing mock drafts constantly and taking AJ Green first overall as an homage to the boy tags. I faded Christian Kirk last year. And again, this is something where I remember talking to tags. I talk about football, we all do, with tags so much. And tags, like just the difference in Christian Kirk and everything like that. Like, I don't have any faith in Christian Kirk. I don't really have any faith in AJ Green right now. I do have faith in Rondale Moore. His talent level, health, you're right, is a concern. I think he is going to be the primary slot guy. And not only that, but I think they are going to manufacture touches for him because of the fact that he's able to do so much when he gets his hands on the ball. So I think the guaranteed touches might be there a little bit more than you do. And I think that's the difference. But all that's a fair point. And again, I'm talking about a guy who has way higher than ADP, sure, way higher than consensus, still 54th.
There's one more guy, and I just mentioned him, so I'm going to mention him again, that I thought one of you would, but you didn't. So I'm going to just pick up the ball and run with it. It's Jalen Waddle.
Well, he's drafted, my third breakout wide receiver.
Oh,
yeah, he didn't get to his
third. I didn't have my third.
Okay.
It was
right,
Jalen Waddle.
Very good. Let's go, Yates. Go ahead. Let's go. I'm sorry.
I mean,
the Rondale Moore, AJ Green thing gone on so long that
We mentioned about 5 other wide receivers. Oh, it's easy.
Good.
To get lost.
Let's
there.
Go, Yates. Go ahead. Thank you very much. I just handed the ball off to you that I just picked up that everybody, Dan, fumbled, basically.
Yeah. Jalen Waddle. I mean, we've talked about him nonstop, and
yeah,
it's actually really funny to see, Joe, that I think we're having an impact. We're starting to see his ADP rise. We're starting to see his ECR rise. ECR last week was wide receiver 52. It's skyrocketed all the way up to wide receiver 49. And that's still way too low. You still got guys like Marquise Brown and Mike Williams. Yep. To the moon. You still got Mike Williams and Marquise Brown ahead of him in ECR. And that makes absolutely zero sense to me. Jalen Waddle, I talked about it with Tua Tagovailoa, the skill set matching perfectly. If Jalen Waddle can get open underneath, which spoiler alert, guys, he can, then Tua is going to feed him the ball. And he could easily lead this entire Dolphins team in targets this year. With his playmaking after the catch, sky's the limit for him. I would not be shocked if we talk about Jalen Waddle as a top 24 wide receiver next year, based off of this performance that he's going to give us in his rookie season. Now, he had that injury scare in the preseason game here. I think that he's okay. So that's the only thing standing in Jalen Waddle's way. I don't understand. I literally do not understand
you and I both.
Why he is so low.
I apologize, by the way. I lost track of where we were for a split second.
You're good.
Rondale Moore just maybe gloss over, but I will say this. My only concern really was Tua. And I've seen enough good Tua now in the preseason, sure, that has assuaged any of my concerns that I had. And when you're watching Waddle on the field, it is clear what he's able to do is very special. And I think to a certain extent, Yates, and maybe you'll agree with this too because you're Mr. Dynasty, that I think that the fact that he didn't play the full complement of games last year, people kind of forgot a little bit how good he is. And I, you know, Smith got all the attention. Smith got the Heisman, all that stuff going on there. But, you know, you look at the, even on Fantasy Pros, the the projection for Jalen Waddle, 57 catches, 764 yards, 4.7 on the touchdown scale. I think he's going to crush all of those, Yates. What do you think about that?
I have Jalen Waddle for 69 receptions, 948 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. So yes, he blows away those projections.
Yeah, he's being drafted as a wide receiver 4. Yates and I already like him as a 3, and we both think that he can go as a 2. Now, here's the thing.
Dan hates that projection, by the way.
What?
I just think
the one that's out there?
I just think that, like I said in the kickoff, like all little kids, Yates is at the 100% outcome of every potential.
No, but I'm not, because I look at the Jamar Chase projection right now on pros, and it's 1,000 yards, and I'm I'm under that now. That needs to be adjusted. And I think the point is this, it's who's the guy working out of the slot, who's the guy that get open, who also has that connectivity with the quarterback. That's a huge thing. Can we not emphasize that enough? The connectivity with the quarterback and how important that is. And that is clearly there between the two of them. And I just think that Waddle right now is in that unique position. But the best part about it is you don't have to draft him as your 2. You don't have to draft him as your 3. You could probably draft him as your 4. And when you hit running back early and often, these are the guys you want to get on your roster, because T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, these are the guys that can outperform their ADP, jump a tier, and that's how you cover yourself at the wide receiver position when you do go running back early in your drafts.
So the one thing I want to ask is, Yates, I don't know what did you say his ADP was? Because I looked it up. I thought you
44.
Said 44. Oh, it is 44. Okay, good. Yeah, that is what I saw. Sorry, I didn't know. Where do you have him ranked, out of curiosity, Yates?
I'm at 36, I think, with Waddle.
We had both at
36 together.
We had them both at 36.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So, that's good enough for me then. Good. And again, I like Jalen Waddle a lot. I have not been able to move him up quite enough to where I'm getting him now that, as you said, although I guess we're taking credit for his rise in ADP, which is, or ECR, which is nice.
Yates and I are taking credit.
That's fine. Yates. I'm certainly not. Also, I think it's silly for us to do that. But regardless, I am 44th right now. I have trouble moving him up a little bit. I do like Tua. I do like the offense. But for now, I'm still, yes, I agree. My projections are not quite that bullish on him. But again, totally fine as a wide receiver 4.
All right, tight end. Let's go. Dan Harris, back to you. Give me the tight end breakout on your team in 2021.
I'll go with Tyler Higbee. He's 11.5 in ADP. I have him 8th. We obviously know that there is no Gerald Everett. Sean McVay has been talking him up a lot. Matthew Stafford is there, upgrading quarterback. He historically targets his tight ends a lot. And I know that the receiving core is better here. But remember, he has played with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay. So he has had legitimate wide receivers before to still target his tight end. Josh Reynolds is also gone, so there's vacated targets there. It's a lot of big play potential. This is a guy who I've slowly, I want to move him up to 7th, but that would mean moving down Logan Thomas, and from just a general standpoint, I can't do that. So 7 and 8
goes against your religion.
It goes against everything I stand for as a human and a fantasy analyst, but I have him at 8th right now, and again, he's at 11.5. I think that, you know, we've got the top 6 in tight ends, but if everything at the 100, if I was Yates and I projected everything, the 100% tile outcome, then I could see Higbee finishing as a top 5 tight end, not that far from TJ Hockenson. So that's where he's my breakout for sure. And it's an easy choice for me, actually.
Yates, your breakout tight end at 21.
Yeah, Higbee's definitely in that conversation for me. I do have him inside my top 6 tight ends. I've got him at 6. Wow. So
wait, who fell out? Is Pitts?
Hockenson.
Hockenson's out. All right.
He's at 7. Johnny Smith is the answer here, because, I mean, tight end 19 guys in ADP, because of the injury, people are completely off. So this is about as easy of an answer as a breakout tight end, because all he has to do is play and he'll finish above tight end 19 on the season. But if you want me to go a little bit further down the board, I will say Pat Freiermuth. I was a big fan of Freiermuth coming into the NFL draft this year. I thought that the Steelers got a steal. In the second round there.
You and your root beer nonsense and your Steeler dad jokes.
I'm on fire today. I thought that he should have gone in the first round, and he did not. So I think that he is an incredibly talented player. Eric Ebron, 7 drops last year on his target share that he had last, I think, and we saw it even in the preseason game.
I was going to say, I saw it in the preseason game.
Yep.
Hands of stone.
There
Eric
is
Ebron.
The worst.
I've talked about the 2 tight end sets. I talked about that with Claypool. I've talked about it all offseason. I think that there is a realistic chance that Freiermuth takes over this tight end 1 job halfway through the season this year. And if that is the case, then we could be talking about him entering into the top 15 conversation at tight end. So he's not someone that you need to draft. He's going tight end 29 in ADP. He's tight end 40 in ECR. But he's one of those guys that you want to keep an eye on as we move throughout the season in on the waiver wire. Because if he does start to take away that target share from Eric Ebron and eventually take over in this offense, he absolutely can be a guy that is a red zone presence and can enter the top 15 conversation.
I think what you want to do, boys and girls, is keep an eye on Freiermuth when it comes to DFS. If there's good matchups there with teams that, you know, bad linebacking cores that don't guard anybody any well, you want to look at Pat Freiermuth as a free tight end on some of those days. He could have a nice return because all you got to do is score a touchdown. And if Big Ben is looking for him already in the red zone, you know, okay, that's what's been established there. So to me, this is actually something that's very important DFS-wise that you want to look and remember, because when you score a touchdown, you're a tight end one that week pretty much. And if Pat Freiermuth can do that, and it looks like he can in the early going, that's something that's useful. And as he had saying too, you know, let's not forget about those tight end premium leagues and those things like that where people, you know, have the extra right. Tight ends flying off the boards and stuff like that. So, you know, even those two tight end wacky, crazy circumstances there in those deeper leagues where you're looking for streaming guys on bye weeks, you might be able to get a touchdown out of him. Dan, you seem to have some feelings about Freiermuth. Did you want to share?
No, one thing I would say is that Jonnu Smith, I am at 16.3 in ADP. It's, I thought you said 19. I may be wrong, unless I'm.
I'll look that up, but
it doesn't matter. But either way, yeah. I agree it's too low. And the one thing with Freiermuth is, again, like, we spend so much time analyzing, like, how does Kyle Pitts fight against historically terrible rookie tight ends? And if we're going to talk about any other rookie tight end, I'm just out. Like, that's basically where I'm at.
And that's fair.
And the points he brings up are great. Long term, I really, really like him. But for this year, I'm obviously.
How much do you like him?
Really like
okay,
him.
Okay, I just want to be sure exactly really, how much you like yeah. him. Well, we really, really like you guys. And we're, again, so appreciative that you give us an hour of your day. Pretty much every day. I mean, let's be honest, if not more sometimes. So I just want to say thanks again to everybody, all of our Fantasy Pros listeners, watchers, readers, friends, and family here. And of course, all the staff over here, Fantasy Pros, been in a really challenging couple weeks in a lot of great ways and a lot of not so great ways. And, you know, just getting back to the football always makes it all better. So I just want to once again kind of reiterate that and send our best, our thoughts and our prayers and our hopes to Mike Tagliere and his family as he continues to battle and continues to be the tough guy we all know him to be. And hopefully getting him home soon and healthy is all that we care about. Also, I want to remind everybody too here, we want to give you some free stuff and thank you for being part of our crew here. So go to fantasypros.com/contest. Once again, we're giving away that Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. That's Pristine auction.com. Go get involved in that contest. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Dan Harris Manifesto. I mean, the kickoff. It's a great way to start your day. 15 minutes of fantasy football fun with Solo Dan rocking and rolling. It is honestly, it is great. I listened to it on Friday. It was lovely. I really enjoyed Dan's quips, his knowledge, and even the way he says root or route or whatever the heck he says. And also, I want to thank our sponsors of today's show, Prize Picks. Use the promo code PROS to receive 100% instant deposit match. Again, Prize Picks is the fun, easy way to play daily fantasy. Don't forget to take your fantasy to the next level with Dynasty Owner. Real fantasy with the real NFL salary cap. Go to DynastyOwner.com to validate your skills. And don't forget about IP Vanish. Go to ipvanish.com/pros to claim your 65% savings. Again, that's ipvanish.com/pros. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.